Get some of your ticket texts. We'll get right to the phones. How do you sum up this season? Chris in Oakland Township, you're on 97.1. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just kind of wanted to weigh in on the situation with the Lions. You know, I think some folks need to kind of adjust their expectations and talk about, you know, what does it mean to have a successful or unsuccessful season? And you, so there's the game and then there's the season. And, of course, I'm sad. I'm heartbroken about the game on Saturday. But, you know, overall, I really think it was a tremendously successful season. I think it was the most exciting season of Lions football that I've seen in my entire life. And I wouldn't trade the season for anything. I've got two young kids. I took my two young kids and my wife to the game on Thanksgiving. And that was magical. And I have really enjoyed watching these guys really just handle all their opponents all season long. And, you know, at the end of the day for me is, are you entertained or not entertained by what you've seen on TV? And I was highly entertained, very engaged, and I'm super happy to be a fan. So overall, again, I'm very pleased and very happy with the way that the season went. Would love to have won that last game and still be in the playoffs, but that's just not where we're at.
Chris, I think there's probably going to be a lot of people where I'm not going to tell you you're wrong because everybody wanted to get something different out of the season. And I think there, sure. I don't think there's anybody looking at it going, everyone wanted a Super Bowl out of this season. That was my expectation. And I'm okay with everybody saying their expectation was the Super Bowl. And if you wanted to get some enjoyment out of it, you loved the ride along the way, I'm not going to tell you that you need to say that this season was a failure or a waste or any of that. And I the ultimate goal is winning a Super Bowl. And do you think that they were good enough to have won a Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I think they were good enough. I think, you know, we'll probably reboot next season. We're going to have basically the same team, less the coaches, but I think we'll have another successful year next year. I don't see any reason why we won't.
I just have a hard time calling this year a success. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. We have phone calls. You guys can do that yourself and express yourself. But I have a hard time calling it a success.
It's all on what somebody wants to get out of it because fans are going to be at different levels, right? There are the extreme fanatics that, I mean, they may not come up for air. We had somebody yesterday call in and say they're getting rid of all of their Lions gear because they can't stand the fact that this was such a failed opportunity. And I'm okay with using the term failure because the goal is to win the Super Bowl. They were built to win the Super Bowl this year. There were some things that they had to overcome, as every team does, but they came up short. So it was a failure. Where I'm not willing to go is to say that it was a waste of a year because I don't know what is to come. If they don't learn from the mistakes that they had, whether it's coaches, players, and yes, I put Goff in that category because he had some self-inflicted wounds, especially in that playoff game, that you can't have. He got outside the game plan, got outside of what the coaches were asking him to do, and it ultimately cost him the game. But if you can learn from this, and it ultimately ends in a Super Bowl championship, and you could point to things that happen next year or the year after and say, you know what, they did this better than they did in 2024, then to me it's not a waste.
I agree to a point. Next year, if they win the Super Bowl, that season doesn't justify wasting this season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we all have to use the lessons that we learn throughout life.
So we're confident they're going to learn the lesson.
Because saying they're confident. That's why I say I don't know.
Right.
It's an unknown. That's why I would look back in 5 years and say, was it a waste? If they don't use it to motivate them to make themselves better, then yeah, it was a waste.
For me, too, just the frustration. Like, I can vividly go back to whenever it was in the third quarter, right before Hutchinson got hurt in Dallas. And I remember literally sitting there during that game and thinking, oh my freaking God, this team has the look of like a dominant, you know, type of team that you see, you know, once every decade or so in the NFL. And then he got hurt. And then they looked like they could overcome him, and they actually did. But then other things started to fall, you know? And I just think, too, I do think there's something. We've had this tone on Ticket Text the last few days. I do think there's a slight arrogance to the game plan on Saturday. And that ticked me off a little bit. And I do think the team needs to learn and remember who their quarterback is. And that you have to put him into a little bit of a cocoon. Because I'd love you to find me the game since Goff has been in Detroit where the Lions have given up 40 and won. That he can't go toe-to-toe in a shootout because he will make a mistake. He had 4 turnovers on Saturday. He had 2 against Minnesota. And don't forget the Van Ginkle play, which would have changed that game critically.
I think there's not going to be many quarterbacks that win when you give up 40 as a point right. of emphasis.
Yeah, you score there. 40 points and you should win that game.
Yeah, now
right, you should.
Yeah.
And that's on the defense, too.
No, yeah.
But your quarterback can't match. He throws pick sixes in those games. He did it against the Eagles and Seahawks in 2022. He did it this last week. I don't think people understand. Like, I can't stand the people on Ticket Text who think turnovers weren't the number one reason.
Yeah, Ticket Text
5-0.
Ticket Text says Goff wasn't the reason. It's the whole Ticket Text. And I would just stress, Goff was a huge reason why this team had the number one offense. He was a major reason why they won 15 games. He is their quarterback. They can win playoff games with him. But he is the single biggest reason the season is over right now. Because while they were injured on defense, they were good enough to beat the Commanders if he doesn't turn the ball over 4 times, including 3 in the first half. You want to know why he had to press? Because he kept making mistakes. You know, both things are true. I think we can view Goff as still the long-term quarterback while not sugarcoating it. They win that game if he plays the way he did all season long. If he plays that clean, in control, orchestrating quarterback football. He didn't. Ticket Texter's talking about what this season really meant, says season wasn't a waste for the team. No one can control injuries. They weren't beating Philly anyway, or the Rams. See, that was not the notion a week ago. That was not what people said a week ago. And now it's the coping mechanism to somehow make this season a success. That's never been how the season would be defined. It's not how the coaches define the season. It's not how the players define the season. I think the fans got to get with it. This is a different era of Lions football that is not defined by we won a few regular season games more than we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have said that the season ultimately was a failure.
But not a waste.
Yeah, because I think you throw in
the stupid semantics.
It is, and you're kind of annoying me. But and I'm not trying to get you to agree with me, but I'm the perspective I'm coming with is the time frame. And right now, this season, in the moment, is a failure. I'm not willing to say it's a waste if it's a missed opportunity, mm-hmm. for sure. The best opportunity this team has ever had, this franchise has ever had, but it only becomes a waste if you don't use it to make yourself better.
Would you call it a wasted opportunity? Let's get to the phones. 248. He's going to slap me.
Punch
He's going to slap me. Let's go to Brandon in St. Clair Shores. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. I was.
All right. So the reason why I think it's a waste is the same reason why I think the 16-0 Patriots, when they lost in the Super Bowl, that year was a waste for them too. You have the opportunity. You have the group of guys for once to win a Super Bowl. And I think every time you fail to accomplish that goal, it's a wasted season.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how I look at it. They can overcome it in the future. They can learn from it in the future. They haven't learned from it yet, though. They haven't. And they didn't learn from it the year before, as evidenced by they didn't even make it to the NFC title game this year. It's not a given. I think that's the other thing. We had a Ticket Texter put it in an interesting way. It says, here lies the 2024 Lions, an appetizer of a season and a promissory note of great things on the horizon. This is only the beginning, signed Mike. They've had 2 cracks at it. I think they've got at least another couple cracks at it. But they're probably at the midpoint of this window.
That you think, yeah.
Well, without more roster manipulation, cap surgery. Well,
there's going to be roster manipulation every year.
Yeah,
there's going to be cap surgery every year.
But I'll give you an example.
Some of it's going to be major surgery. Some of it's going to be minor surgery.
The Chiefs' first Super Bowl with Mahomes versus the Chiefs' roster today in only a 5-year span. It's a very different roster. There's a couple key pieces, but a lot of the roster has to turn over. So
it's possible. You're saying it's possible.
Yeah, it is possible. But, but you're going to have to turn.
Can Brad Holmes, you know, can he draft well?
Yeah, I think he can, John.
Okay.
But as they currently sit, this is...
Well, we currently sit here not knowing what this draft or free agency or trades will produce.
phone calls and more. What do you say about this season? Success, failure, waste? What word would you use? It's 97.1.
Hey, it's wintry driving season yet again, and reckless drivers seemingly are everywhere. And if they can't keep their cars under control, you pay the price. If you get injured in an auto accident during this or any time of the year, you need an injury attorney that's going to be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance companies. That injury attorney you need to hire is David Femininio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak with David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A ticket texter is pointing out that, yeah, John wouldn't slap me. He would punch me because he's, quote, a real man. I was getting under your nerves a little bit, under your skin.
Well, I mean, this is just another Wednesday.
I know. We'll get more of phone calls and ticket texts. This is, I didn't think, controversial to say. You and I both agree this was a failed season as we try to write the obituary. I said it was a wasted season. They're the one seed. They had home field throughout the NFC playoffs, and they didn't win a single playoff game. It's one thing if you say the defense wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. They didn't win a single game. How can you define it as anything but
Well, you can label it however you want. To me, failure is as far as I need to go.
Okay. Ticket texters are all over the board on this, and the calls are on both sides of this as well. Texter says, the season was enjoyable and fun, but it was for nothing. Based on the goals, it was empty calories, good season, but a bust. Texter says, nice to beat the Cowboys, Seahawks, Niners, Texans, teams we haven't beaten in a while. Other than that, failed season. I'd sum up the Lions season as a rebirth of good times and even better times to come in the city of Detroit and many parts of Michigan. People of all ages and races came together to support a team we haven't had in years. Families reunited, fathers spent quality time with their kids, more to come in Detroit. Not a wasted opportunity. Fans are annoying. This year wasn't a waste. You know what I enjoyed? Watching the game with my wife and kids, eating great food, cheering for the Lions together. Only one team can win the Lombardi. Lions disappointed in the playoffs, but it doesn't take away from the magical ride we had during the season. To the phones we go. Charlie, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I don't think it's a waste. John, I think you're absolutely right. I think Cookies is being kind of obstinate about his stance on it being a waste.
A little vocab.
Like you said, if we learn from this, it's not a waste. Like, I'm 57. I remember when they built the Pistons, the Bad Boy Pistons, and all the suffering we had to go through to get there, the loss in Boston, the loss to Kareem in the final, till we finally won back-to-back titles. That team didn't really turn around until we got Isaiah, but the Red Wings were the same way. We were the best team in hockey, and New Jersey thumped us. And then we lost to the Avalanche the next year before we got to the final and won back-to-back titles. I think there's good things to come. I think Coach Campbell and the staff and Brad Holmes are going to definitely learn from this and apply it to the team. I'm really excited about the future because they're not the type of guys that are going to let us not learn from what happened here.
I want to respond to that, but John, you said we have some breaking news?
Yeah, it's Adam Schefter has tweeted out Lions defensive line coach Terrell Williams, who worked with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee from 2018 to 2023, is leaving Detroit to become the Patriots defensive coordinator. Sources tell myself and Mike Reese.
So not a surprise. He was on staff with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Vrabel was fired. He needed a job. Dan Campbell hired him, and now he will go for a promotion in New England.
Yep.
We'll wait to see what happens with Hank Fraley, Mark Brunell, guys that could go with Ben Johnson to Chicago, could go with Aaron Glenn to, we assume, New York or New Orleans, Kelvin Shepard. I mean, there's going to be some turnover with this coaching staff, and I don't panic about it. I think Dan Campbell's got a Rolodex, and it's an attractive job for guys. Sure. He'll reward his guys. He empowers his staff. I'm not panicked. This is what happens when you win, but this is something that we thought could take place.
Yeah. The staff is going to get picked apart. Guys are going to get promotions. They're going to be, you know, if they're a position coach, they're going to be coordinators. Coordinators, as we've seen already with Ben Johnson, will probably hear today officially Aaron Glenn going to the Jets. It just seems like, you know, hey, and when you have success, even though it might be a failure of a season, and you have success, you are going to have parts that are coveted by other franchises. And coaches are the ones that have the ability to move around the most.
Price just went up for Robert Saleh. That's how you fix this real quick. You go hire him as long as he doesn't get another head coaching job, which he could. But to me, he's been rumored to go back to the Niners. Don't lose that battle if it comes down to it.
Yeah, you're a more attractive team, I would think. And again, not just because he grew up around here, but this team's closer.
Good.
Yeah, well, yeah, the team's better. Caller brought up the Wings and the Pistons and getting over the hump, and this is just part of that process. That's certainly the glass half full perspective. I think you could also point to the Tigers, who made the World Series in 06, and it was inevitable, right? They were spending. They had future Hall of Famers. They made it in 2012. They got even more loaded for 2013. They made the playoffs again in 2014. The idea, though, is it's not promised, and Dan Campbell's been upfront right about that.
Well, and so you look back on that, it's 06 to 12.
Yeah.
And you look back and you say, well, they didn't learn enough from any of those seasons. So now those seasons are wasted years, wasted opportunities. And that's to me, when you use the word waste, that's the perspective that I have regarding that term and this season. It's clearly a failure because they didn't obtain their objective. Their goal was to win a Super Bowl. They had been built to win a Super Bowl. They did everything they could to set themselves up for success leading up to the playoffs. And then they, as you put it, pooped the bed.
Because you can't say what I tweeted.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John in Southfield. John, you're on 97.1.
How you doing?
What's good.
Up? Basically, I wanted to say, in my honest opinion, I don't feel like it was a waste, because when the Lions have been as bad as they've been for the longest time, and you finally had, we had like the greatest buzz in football. Now, I understand your point that the ultimate goal was to win the Super Bowl, and we didn't acquire that, but we're still a good team. The core of the team is still going to be there. Sure, we're going to have to do the thing with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, so we are going to have to make adjustments when it comes to those positions. But I feel as though this is still a good team, and we can still get back to that. It was just one of those things where I heard you guys mention that the Lions peaked too soon. Yeah, we did. We were really that team, and then we just hit that highest peak, and then we crashed. But we still looked good while we were crashing, so nobody really paid attention to the fact that the defense was struggling and stuff like that, because the offense looked so good that it covered up the defense. And then when the offense, you know, Jared Goff started making turnovers, it exposed the defense even more. But at the end of the day, I felt like we had a really good season. People were really excited about Detroit football, and I feel like that will continue. It's just we can't make those same mistakes next year.
The texter who said rebirth, I think is accurate. I do think we had a rebirth. I mean, hell, you could call it a birth. I mean, we've never had it like this. I mean, this is a long time coming. But I just know that these windows, and we'll talk more about it at the 9 o'clock hour, these windows, they don't last as long as we hope they last. So when you don't make the most of an NFC title trip and then you don't even get back to the NFC title game the very next year, you do feel like, I'll use a different word that you'll agree with, you're squandering these opportunities. Even with 15 wins, even as much fun as individual games may have been and individual Mondays coming in here had been, They didn't do it.
You know, if you, I would have told you this time last year that the Tigers would win a playoff series and the Lions wouldn't win a playoff game, that's where things go in your corner, Jim, in terms of just absolute waste and failure. But then if you look at the details of how it played out, I do think just saying a complete and total waste is there were things that came out of this season that were good for this team. I mean,
no, like, yeah, if you want to find silver linings, I think Kirby Joseph ascending to all-pro status was a big takeaway from this season, right?
Where was he Saturday night?
I
think one of the things that has got completely overlooked.
Did he play? I know. We had a couple phone calls Monday that singled him out. This isn't the first time it's come up this week. I think from a culture-building standpoint, they were tested from adversity, from the depth chart, from you know what they could get and squeeze out of these guys and maybe learning that they were stronger than they thought they were. Like, I understand all of that. I just, from the broadest perspective of you're the one seed, you don't win a single game, I don't know why we sugarcoat it. Like, they wasted that. That was the one seed, the home games, the things that we all wanted, and they got nothing for it. They didn't even get where they got last year. They didn't win a single playoff game.
It was a failure.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they get the number one seed again, it's a big if.
Yeah, there's no guarantees.
What do they do with it? How do they learn from this experience and ultimately win that game? Even if they even if it's not the one seed, let's just say they host a game or they've got to go on the road. Maybe that was the ticket for this year's team. They needed to be on the road. They were undefeated on the road.
My thing is though, like while using the defense and injuries as an excuse, the bottom line is the defense that was on the field Saturday night, especially when Robertson went down, was worse than the 2022 defense. It really was. Like, I'd rather have Kaminsky out there trying to make plays than Owens Arike.
Thank you, Michael.
I just go back to it. If they would have won Saturday, and then they lost to the Eagles in a close game, and you go, boy, we just didn't have the horses. I think that's a little more understandable. They should not have lost to the Commanders. And all credit to Washington. They didn't make mistakes. They seized the moment. Daniels was every bit as good as we thought and honestly better. But if Detroit doesn't, uncharacteristic offensive nightmare where you have five turnovers. If they don't have that, I think they still win that game, even with this beat up defense, even with this defense that quote shouldn't have been there. And at least we would get back to the NFC title game and at least get a little bit of that back. More of your phone calls. We got Heather's news. It's 97.1.
Better roster, the better coaches, all of those different things reset that standard. That's why I liked the fact that at the beginning of the year, we heard from Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, the expectations of the Super Bowl. I put it out there. We didn't hear it from Malone. What did we talk about the entire time he was here? Why not just say the expectation is to make the playoffs?
Jim, do you think you're verbatim saying the exact same thing if they would have beat Washington and then lost this week to Philly?
It wouldn't sting the same way, but yeah, I feel like not winning a Super Bowl would be a letdown.
With more, but you think you'd be a little bit more like me with lost opportunity?
A little more understanding, maybe.
Because there's just no reason they shouldn't have been able to go toe-to-toe offensively against that defense.
Yeah.
That's where it just stings for me. Like, you can love Jaden Daniels all you want, and look, he might be the first rookie quarterback to lead a team to the Super Bowl if he wins this game.
Wait, that's never happened?
That has never happened. So maybe they lost to that. But still, because of the Commanders' defense, that game should have came down to the last possession.
And the fact that it was a 14-point loss, and they were down more than that in the fourth quarter.
They crapped the bed.
Yeah, they absolutely crapped the bed. Yeah, I guess you're right. No rookie's ever done it because, I mean, the guys who have won multiple road games were Mark Sanchez and Ben Roethlisberger, I think. And those guys in the rookie years didn't win the Super Bowl. Daniels is something else, and he may be a problem for years to come, which is, again, why you can't let these moments go. Because you don't know how many of them you're going to have. If all of a sudden the NFC has a couple of these quarterbacks like the AFC, your competition, you're going to be swimming in it.
Well, that's the beauty of competition is other teams are striving to get better as well.
We'll talk more about this window and just how many cracks at this the Lions' current setup is going to have. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's get to Heather's news.
So the Detroit Grand Prix is looking for hundreds of volunteers for the 2025 race weekend in downtown Detroit, which will be held at the end of May. So the event is looking for 900 passionate, dedicated, and community-focused people to help host the event. And the association, the Detroit Grand Prix Association, is looking for help in a whole lot of different departments, like information services, guest navigators, food services, hospitality, ticket sales, a whole lot of different areas. Last year, they had 1,500 volunteers. They have 600 already, so they're hoping to get at least the 1,500 they had last year, or maybe even more. So something you're interested in, definitely jump online and check it out. Four men believed to have been involved in the burglary of Joe Burrow's home have been arrested. So earlier this month, four Chilean men were arrested in Ohio with items stolen from Burrow's home. It happened on January 10th. Police pulled over a vehicle after investigators had been conducting surveillance on them. And three men inside of the vehicle gave fake IDs to the authorities. One did not. Anyway, all four were illegally in the country. And during the search of the vehicle, not only did they find glass breaking equipment or a tool for them to get into homes, but they also found an old LSU t-shirt and a Bengals hat, which apparently dead was giveaway. Taken from Burrow's home.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been busted, and they could very well be connected to all of these other burglaries that have been taking place at these high celebrities.
Yeah, you know, high value individuals.
Yes, that's where I was headed for, something like that. Yeah. Y'all knew what I was saying, right? So after the loss to Michigan, Ohio State coach Ryan Day and his family actually needed around-the-clock police protection.
Wow.
His wife, Nina, says that the family received threats, very serious threats that they took very seriously, right? She basically said, hey, nowadays you can't take anything lightly. We're getting threats and we took them seriously. People were just coming after them, coming after their children even.
Yeah, kids couldn't even leave their home.
No. His son, a sophomore in high school, said he basically stayed inside for 3 weeks before he could leave his house because people were coming after him who had nothing to do with anything, right? It's just a sophomore in high school. The kid had nothing to do with anything. Seeing his sister in tears, but basically they just said, you know, we'll come out stronger after all of this. But it's sad to hear that.
It is.
That's what is happening now to the entire family, even coming after him. I mean, it's a game. It's a sport. Let's end it at that. I don't know.
A bunch of lowlifes.
It really is, for sure.
Yeah.
Some more big names have been added to the already impressive roster of musicians set to perform at that Fire Aid benefit concert. This thing is going to be huge. Olivia Rodrigo, Stevie Wonder, Alanis Morissette, The Black Crowes, among a whole bunch of others, were just added to this huge list of artists that are already going to be performing. It's going to take place on Thursday, January 30th. It's like a tandem concert because one venue wasn't big enough for everybody. So there's going to be two venues already on the list. If you didn't hear, Billie Eilish, Dave Matthews, John Mayer, Green Day, Gwen Stefani, Jelly Roll, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Pink, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sting. I mean, more and more and more that I'm not even listing. It's absolutely incredible. Fans across the globe will be able to watch. You can make contributions as well. They'll be streamed basically everywhere and anywhere, right? Apple Music, Apple TV, Max, Netflix, Paramount Plus, Prime Video, YouTube, yada, 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 yada. They're also going to be at a couple of theaters nationwide. Like, you can go to a movie theater and watch. Pretty incredible. So pretty awesome. Hopefully they raise a ton of money. There was a woman, I saw this video and I thought you guys might want to check it out as well. A woman that just set a world record for crushing the most watermelons using only her thighs in 60 seconds.
How many watermelons?
Five.
Ouch.
So when you hear five, okay, maybe it doesn't sound like a lot.
One sounds like a lot.
But it, so when you watch the video, I mean, it's incredible. Smashes the watermelon. Then, of course, because she
replaces it. Yes.
Yeah, but she's got to clean the air, everything off first, and then smashes the next one, cleans everything, smashes it again.
Jim. One every 10 seconds?
It's pretty crazy.
Powerhouse.
Look out.
Yes, ouch.
I do want to talk about this. I haven't heard this, so I'm really interested to hear this audio quickly. The mayor of Philadelphia tried to start the Eagles chant, right? Everyone has heard this chant, but she forgot how to spell the word. So let's
the chant.
And forgot how to spell Eagles
right
during the chant. So
kind
let's,
of important.
Let's listen.
I can't watch that or listen to it enough. It is one of the most annoying chants. Okay, so, you know, it's the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Sure.
And I can't tell you how many times, obviously, I played there for a decade, you know, having to play Philly in the division. The E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles chant is nauseating. It's hilarious.
That's the mayor?
That's the mayor of the city of Philadelphia.
And you can hear people trying to chant along with her and then realizing, oh, wait, she's off a letter. Oh, wait, this is wrong. And yeah. Then they kind of chuckle in the background.
And their fight song is it's Fly Eagles Fly. And I have been sent on the internet a bunch of T-shirts that are being made in Washington right now because that's who they're playing. It says Fly, and then it's E-L-G-S-E-S, Fly. Fly Eagles Fly. Ha!
And she didn't ever realize.
No.
Nope.
No. And can you imagine the people around her going, you really messed that one up.
Yeah.
She sure did.
It will live on forever.
All right. Coming up next, Ben Johnson's arrival in Chicago. Who do we want to replace him here in Detroit? We'll get into the Super Bowl window at 9:02. It's 97.1.
Hey, your New Year's resolution is to lose weight. And you can get there faster than you think with Ideal You. Go to idealu.us now and you can lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. Whether your resolution is to lose 10 or 100 or anywhere in between, Ideal U works and it works fast. We all love to see results. I lost 10 in the first 10 days. I lost 50 in the 40 days that the program goes on. And since then, because it's real whole foods, it's a lifestyle change that you commit to, I'm down 70 pounds since I started the program. Ideal U's weight loss coaches are going to work with you every single step of the way. Your coach is going to help you lose weight, and just as I mentioned, they're going to help you keep it off. That's always the biggest challenge. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us. IdealU is a Michigan-based weight loss company that's helped thousands of people just like me and you lose weight. In fact, over 90% of IdealU customers, that's 9 out of every 10, lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us. Sign up now. You're going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Start the new year off right. Lose weight and also get that $200 Visa gift card. Want to weigh less? Go to idealu.us. And the cliches begin.
She just didn't look right wearing a Bears hat.
We'll get used to it.
I know.
Again, I know there's a lot of people losing their minds because it's in division. Yep. Hey, good luck. We'll see you.
Yeah. See you twice a year. Beat them twice a year. That's got to be the mentality moving forward. You are now the enemy. But I don't think he did anything out of school or taboo or anything. I mean, he took a job a couple days after the season ended, which is when Dan Campbell took the Lions job. It's when most coaches
take jobs,
accept and take the jobs. He stayed here longer than anybody expected him to. He gave the Lions, I thought, a really good effort. They had a top offense each of the last three seasons. And this is just the price of being really good in the NFL. We're going to see it more the rest of this week. Terrell Williams, for those that missed the news, Lions D-line coach, going to New England to be the DC under Vrabel, who he coached with in Tennessee. Aaron Glenn, we expect to take the Jets job or the Saints job, where he will probably take a couple Detroit assistants with him, either side of the ball.
Do you read anything into it? It was reported last night that he landed back in Detroit because their whole thing was, well, we're not going to let him leave until he signed a contract. Do you think there's anything, read anything into that?
Is it him leveraging for another year or a little more control or something? Because I think they want him and he has options. So that might have been him saying, hey, really enjoyed meeting you guys.
Yeah,
I got to get home. And seeing if they meet
up to
any of his demands. Because it feels like he is both the favorite in New Orleans and in New York.
Sure. And how much leverage does he have to call his shot or at least have input into who they hire as general manager?
Yeah. And the belief, I don't know if you saw, is there's a member of the Washington front office that used to be in Detroit
yeah.
that they'd like to potentially pair up with the Jets. Dan Campbell was asked about losing both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, something that he expects, and what it means for their window. We're going to get to that at 9:02, this concept of a Super Bowl window, trying to define just how many cracks at this the Lions are going to have with this group. How do you want to see Ben Johnson replaced, John?
I just want the best one for the job.
Do you have a name in mind?
Well, I've got a few names. And obviously, we've talked about Tanner Engstrom. And I believe he is, you know, he's probably near or at the top of Dan Campbell's list. He's going to be most familiar with him. We've the internal candidates, Hank Fraley, Scotty Montgomery. But the guys that I think would be interesting outside the quote-unquote Lions family right now, there's two that do have ties to Dan Campbell that he's been on staffs with, but have also been on a staff with Sean Payton. And they're currently on staff with Sean Payton, because whose offense do we believe this ultimately is? It's been modified and tweaked by Dan Campbell to be his offense, but the bones of it are coming from Sean Payton. So Pete Carmichael Jr.,
I remember the name.
He was, I believe, was the offensive coordinator, or he was at least in New Orleans for like 15 years.
Yeah, he was under Payton in the offensive staff. Yeah.
And was a coordinator when they had some of the most prolific offenses in NFL history. So he understands the concepts.
Terminology.
Terminology can be different.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say even terminology, but the concepts will be very similar to the bones of what Dan Campbell is running. Another guy that is also on staff with Payton, Sean Payton, Coach Payton, as Dan likes to call him, and should, is John Morton, who is currently the Denver Broncos passing game coordinator. So would either of those guys jump at the opportunity to be offensive coordinator? Probably.
Yeah, you'd think so. Those would be upgrades on a Super Bowl contender. And here's the other thing. You're going to have still a very good offensive line. You have two very good backs, all pro receiver in Amon Ross St. Brown, who you can move around the offense in the slot, out wide, third down. There are a lot of pieces. You know, Jared Goff, a veteran quarterback, if you're keeping the offense the same and he's going to have large say in what they do here, this should be turnkey for the right offensive coordinator. And John, it may even be someone on the staff for that reason, that Goff, if he's going to have input, says, whether it's Tanner Engstrand or Mark Brunell or Scotty Montgomery or even Hank Fraley, I like this guy. I'm going to stump for this guy. And if it's a truly collaborative process, then Dan's going to know what those guys are bringing to the table every week and if they can handle a little more responsibility. See, I think that would be ideal if one of those guys is ready.
Yeah, and you mentioned this earlier, is, you know, how are you preparing those guys that are currently on your staff to eventually be coordinators? And because we knew last year there was a chance that Ben Johnson could have left for Washington or Carolina or any number of jobs that were available last year. He decided, I'm going to take my name out. I'm going to stay here. Unfinished business. There's still more I want to learn. I'm, you know, I like it where I'm at. Now, a year further down the road, he was the leading candidate for almost every head coaching position that was available. And you know eventually you're going to lose your quarterback. You keep winning. You keep having a prolific offense. And the way the defense played, you're going to lose coaches. You're going to lose your coordinators. They're going to be promoted to head coaches in other places. So in the process, what are you doing from within to coach your coaches, to develop your coaches, so that you have one that is ready to step in? Because no one that comes in from outside is going to know as much about Jared Goff, his likes, dislikes, the way that he reads blitzes, the way he gets rid of the ball, the way he throws the ball, the way he sees coverages, more than coaches that are on the staff right now. Same thing with, what does Amon-Ra St. Brown? What are his favorite routes? What does he like? What does he do really well? We want to accentuate those. And how does that pair with what J-Mo does, Laporta does, Gibbs, Montgomery, you know, every weapon that this offense has, those coaches. So, and I think I would love to ask Dan this question when we get a chance to talk to him next, and whoever that coordinator ends up being, if it's Tanner Engstrom, how did you develop him to be the play caller? Was there in the preseason, we always look at starters don't play, all right? It doesn't mean coaches aren't, you know, still coaching up the guys that are in there, or it's a warm up for Ben Johnson to get ready for the season. But do you tell them, hey, in the second half of the second preseason game, I'm gonna give the lead mic to Tanner Engstrom. I want to see how he coaches and calls a game. I want to see how he reacts to different situations. I want to learn more about him. It puts him in a position to make mistakes that he can learn from. Yep. It also puts Dan in a position to coach his coaches
and evaluate the job they're doing. Look, it's set up well for that next offensive coordinator. If this is truly collaborative, if it's truly Dan Campbell's offense, and he says he's been more involved since the Anthony Lynn coaching change in his first season, I don't expect a huge drop-off. I think they should still be a top-five offense. Mm-hmm. Defense, there's maybe a few more questions. Aaron Glenn still technically the DC for now.
Looking for a D-line coach.
Yeah, and you're currently looking for a D-line coach. What does all this mean for their viability moving forward? Dan Campbell's response to the Super Bowl window and your responses as well as ours next. It's 97.1.